And we're looking at eschatology, and in particular, we're looking at the divine judgments of the tribulation age. So last week we learned that the Lord will send a series of judgments upon the earth and those who dwell therein during the tribulation. And this is because of their sin, their defiance to God, and their persecution of His people Israel, as well as the church. So last week we studied the first series of judgments, known as the seal judgments. Today we will study the trumpet judgments. So remember, John saw a vision in heaven, and in that vision in heaven, these judgments came. There was a scroll with seals on it, and no one was worthy to open the seals. And of course, the Lamb came who was worthy, and the Lord Jesus begins the tribulation period by breaking the seals. Now, seals, scrolls, were rolled up and sealed closed with hot wax. And then what often would happen was the king's ring or some kind of a signet would be put on there so that it could only be broken by whomever, you know, it is being sent to. And of course, the Lord was the only one. So today, we're going to see the trumpet judgments, and these will be brought to pass by angels who sound seven trumpets. So if you open up your Bible this morning to Revelation 8, and we'll see a little bit of introduction to this. And the verse 1, remember, we read, we ended with last week, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And of course, we said how strange that was, because what is heaven usually filled with? The praises of God. And here we see silence in heaven. We see no praise. And I think it shows the seriousness of what's about to happen. And so, look at verses 2 to 6 with me. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire off the altar, and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So here we see kind of an introduction. And what we see are the prayers of the saints ascending into God's presence in the heavenly temple. Now remember, when Moses was on the mount, okay, God showed him the pattern that he was supposed to make the earthly tabernacle from. And it was made after the pattern of the tabernacle that was in heaven. And Leviticus 16, verses 12 and 13, explained to us that altar of incense that was before the Holy of Holies. So you had two places within the tabernacle. You had the holy place and the most holy place, or the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And in the holy place was the table of showbread on one side, the light on the other side, and right in front of the curtain, that the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, was the altar of incense. Who dwelt on the other side of that curtain? God, okay? And so this altar of incense represents the prayers going up before God. And it, when John the Baptist was born and Zechariah saw the angel, it was his time in the temple to take care of the incense, okay? So they would keep coals on there, throw incense on there, and the smoke would rise, and that represented the saints the saints' prayers. And here we see that in heaven. So the second series of judgments that will come are called the trumpet judgments. And the first trumpet, verse 7, trumpet number 1, we see in verse 7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up." Okay? So what do we see here? We see the destruction of a third of the earth's vegetation. And it seems to be describing hail and lightning, because it's very similar to Exodus chapter 9. When Moses, a lot of these plagues, not all of them, but a lot of these plagues are very similar to the plagues that happen leading up to the Passover. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, we read, "And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field." They must have been some huge hailstones, right? Because they're killing animals and people, knocking down trees. I've seen pretty big hail, never that big, okay? The biggest hailstorm we were caught in, we were driving, we actually lived in New York at the time, and we were driving home, and it was hailing so hard and bouncing off the car. We actually found, I know you're not supposed to go under a tree in a lightning storm, but we actually found a pretty good-sized tree to kind of park real close to kind of protect the car somewhat. Because I thought for sure the window, the windshield's going to shatter. And, once in a while you get those kind of storms. But these hail storms, this is severe, what happened in Exodus and what's going to happen, and it's going to, burn up the ground and kill everything, okay? And so that's the first trumpet. So it's going to affect the vegetation, the green things. The second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. "And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed." So we see a destruction of a third of the sea's content. Seems to be caused, possibly, it sounds like a burning mountain, possibly a volcano, right? Did all of you see the news? I don't know if it was this past week or the week before, that volcano that erupted under the ocean. They have pictures of it, and it caused tsunamis, in a lot of places. And they said it was probably one of the biggest volcanic explosions that ever happened. It was under the oceans, probably the Pacific Ocean. But isn't there a place out there, isn't it called the Ring of Fire? There's so many volcanoes out there, again, that's what it sounds like. It doesn't mean that it has to be that, but whatever is happening here, a third of everything in the sea is being destroyed, okay? Fish and the sea's becoming blood and any kind of ships or anything. So this is a massive, massive, massive event. Okay, trumpet number 3, verses 10 and 11. "The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and men died of the waters because they were made bitter." So what we see here is a destruction of the third of the world's freshwater. and seems to be caused possibly by a massive meteor. But whatever it is, it causes the waters to become bitter. And wormwood, that word wormwood there literally means bitter. And bitter here, it means, you know, become corrupted. They become poisoned. Remember when Israel was in the wilderness and Moses said the waters were bitter, Marah, okay? And of course he threw the stick in there and it made the waters sweet so the people could drink it. But you know, think about it, fresh water. You know, if you get the source of a lot of rivers and lakes, you know, you get it to the source, what does it do? It corrupts everything, you know. So we see so far a third of the green vegetation, a third of the sea, and a third of the fresh water destroyed. Just destroyed. And very quickly. And then trumpet number 4, 12 and 13, we read, "And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are to sound." So here is the destruction of celestial light from the sun and the moon, and the woes warning people of the next three trumpets. Now think about this. Don't you think to lose a third of the earth's vegetation, a third of sea life, a third of fresh water, and a third of the daylight, don't you think that's pretty bad? But the angel says, "Woe, woe, woe, because 5, 6, and 7 are coming. And if you thought 1, 2, 3, and 4 were bad, wait till these next few come." Now, this seems strange that, you know, how is God going to block the light? I don't know the answer to that. But this is spoken of many times in the Bible. So I'm going to have you folks read some verses. Joanna, could you read Exodus 10? 21-23. Dana, could you read, I spelt Isaiah wrong. Could you read Isaiah 13:10? Matt, Isaiah 24:23. Sandy, could you read Joel 2:10? Andy, could you read Joel 2:31? And Ryan, could you read Amos 8? Famous Amos. Okay, now think about this, a third of the sun, third of the stars. Joanna, please, nice and loud, read Exodus 10, 21-23.
"And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings."
So here, one of the plagues is darkness. But isn't it interesting that Israel had light? Darkness that can be felt. Have you ever been in total darkness? We went into caves in upstate New York called Howe Caverns. Anybody ever been there? And they take you down into these caves, at least when we went there, and they turn the lights off. And you could put your hand right here where there was no light, so no light means no sight. You couldn't see anything. And so God caused it to be dark in Egypt. So somehow God is going to cause the sun to not shine all of the day. Okay? Isaiah 13:10, nice and loud, please.
"For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall be darkened in his rising. And the stars shall be darkened in his going
Okay? Here Isaiah is prophesying what's going to happen in the end times. The heavens aren't going to give their light. Also, Isaiah 24, 23, nice and loud. Okay, so again, another prophecy of this. Joel 2:10, Sandy.
The earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining.
Okay, and Andy, Joel 2:31.
The moon shall be turned into darkness, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Okay. And one more, Amos 8:9.
It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the day.
Okay. I looked at you and said, Ryan, didn't I? I meant you, but that's fine. No, it's good. It's good. It's my brain fades. So good. But what do all these things prophesy about? The sun not giving the light, the moon not giving its light. I mean, I don't know how God is going to do this. Is there going to be smoke? I don't know. I don't know how. But God, who created light, obviously, looking all the way back to Exodus, can what? Take light away. You know, and he did that. So what needs light? Plants, right? Everything needs light. I mean, think about that. So you just destroyed a third of the vegetation, and now you take away the sunlight. What else is not growing like it should? You know, vegetation. So tremendous judgment coming. But even though that seems and is bad, the angel says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! There's three more trumpets, and each trumpet is one of these woes." Okay? Any questions before we move on? Again, exactly how God is going to do this, you know, I mean, it says fire from heaven and, you know, is it going to be volcano? I don't know. Those kind of things, I don't know. Go ahead, Ryan.
I've heard, like, woe, like, being judgment.
Uh-huh.
When the angel says woe, he's saying,
well, yeah, but it's also like, you know, hang on, it's going to get bad. You know what I'm saying? It's really going to get bad. Because literally, what is going to happen with these next three judgments is hell is going to be released on earth. Because we're going to see demons released, okay? Two series of demons. And then we're going to see Satan himself cast to earth. And the rise of the second half of the tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist. Three more seals, right? Three more judgments in this series. There's a whole nother series of judgments coming yet, but in this, these next three trumpets are going to be really bad. Okay? All right. So, trumpet number 5, verses 1 to 12 of chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So there's not a whole lot of sunlight to begin with, and now it's going to get darker. Okay, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Okay, so these are unbelievers that they're told to harm. All right? And remember, we already saw the 144,000 sealed. So this plague is not against them. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of a chariot of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they had power, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So think of the description of these demons. You know, they're pretty gnarly looking. I looked up on Google the other day, you know, artist rendition of the locust of Revelation 9. And, you know, it was pretty, I mean, you know, something that looks like a horse that has a man's head, the woman's hair, gold, breastplates, wings, and a scorpion's tail. And some of the artists did pretty good renditions, you know. And but what is going to happen? These demons that are released from the bottomless pit, which Peter and Jude tell us, you know, there's demons that are reserved in chains of darkness for certain times, they're going to be released to hurt men. And we don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 10, verse 4 through 15, what was one of the plagues that was released on Egypt? Locusts. Literal locusts there, okay? Literal locusts. And they came and destroyed everything. Locusts, just with the hail, it said what the hail didn't destroy, the locusts came and ate everything. And I have heard, you know, accounts and that when locusts come through, they just come through in swarms of millions and billions, and they just eat everything in their path. Here, they're demons that look like locusts. But here, these demons are only allowed to torment unsaved people. So much so that these people want to die, but they can't die. God's keeping them alive, but they're being tormented. That doesn't sound pleasant. It sounds frightful. Because now, okay, you have all this natural phenomenon going on. Fresh water is taken away, a third of fresh water, a third of the sea is taken away, a third of the light is taken away, a third of the ocean is, and all its contents are taken away. If that weren't bad enough, now we have these hordes of demons bothering us, tormenting us. I shouldn't say bothering us, tormenting us. This woe will be inflicted by demons who are released from the abyss. They will torture unsaved humans for 5 months. People will seek death but not find it. Abaddon in the Hebrew is the word for destruction, and Apollyon is Greek for the destroyer. So this is the one fallen angel who is in charge of them. Okay? And God is, remember, if you go back to, there's a couple interpretations of Genesis 6, the sons of men and the sons of God. One of the interpretations is that the sons of God were fallen angels who mingled with man, because then it goes on to say there were giants there, and the earth became so bad, so corrupted, that God had to destroy it by a flood. And a lot of those angels that were part of that were reserved in chains of judgment. Now they're released for a very short time. So just, you know, I don't understand all of this, but this is without a doubt serious demonic activity that is let loose upon the world, okay? And what does Satan seek to do to the world? Destroy it, right? I mean, God is only letting them go so far, just like God allowed Satan to go only so far with Job, right? Don't touch him, but touch all he has. Okay, touch him, but spare his life. So they're not allowed to kill, but they torment, okay? And they'll probably take that as far as they can. With Satan, yeah.
So you think that these aren't just bugs that God created?
Yeah, I think they're demons because they're in the abyss. And they're released. And an angel... No. No. It's not. And Satan's going to be thrown in that same bottomless pit during the thousand-year reign. I think it's a storage place, if you will, for these demons. You know, now, they could be demons that look like this, or it could be some creature that the demons have taken possession. You know what I'm saying? That I don't have, you know, I don't know exactly what they are, but it you know, it talks about these things. You know, an angel comes, he releases them, and you know, they're doing wicked things. So, because I'm not aware of anything on earth that looks like a horse with wings, with a scorpion's tail, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, either way, there's demons that are behind this, though. So that, I mean, that's a possibility. Or, you know, that is a possibility. I mean, if you look at some of the angels that Ezekiel saw, and John saw, you know, it says that they had four heads, one, you know, on each. One was like an eagle, one was like a lion, one was like a bull, one was like a man. That's an interesting looking, but that's an angel, you know. And again, it's earthly people trying to explain the best they can spiritual sight, you know. So this is what, again, is this what they look like, or is this something that God created for them to possess, you know? So it's a terrible, I mean, not only is it a terrible act, it's a terrible picture. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, all right? Good question. That's only the first woe. Second woe, trumpet 6, 13 to 21. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. And again, the horns on this altar, if you go back to Exodus, where it's given to God, on the corner of the altar is four horns. So off these four, you know, where on the corners of that altar that we saw, and the four altars were, and the sixth angel which had the trumpet loosed the angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and they were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of man. So what did the first demons do? They tormented man. But these now have permission to slay a third of the part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and they and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of janeth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths, and their power was and their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So the second woe, the slaughter of humans by demons. The second woe will be inflicted by 200 million demons. That's the phrase there, 200,000,000, okay? 200,000, so there's 200 million demons led by four fallen angels who all have unearthly appearances. They will slay one-third of mankind. But from the fourth seal and the sixth seal, that just over half of the world's population is destroyed in the first half of the tribulation. Just from the fourth seal, which we saw, the wars and the demon, right, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the war that comes and the starvation and the pestilence, between all the people that die there and all the people that die here, about half the world's population has already been killed. And with that in mind, verse 20 and 21 are a very sad commentary, aren't they? People didn't repent of their idolatry and their hatred and their witchcraft and all of that. They didn't repent. So that's the second woe. First woe, demons are released who torment men. Second woe, demons are released, 200 million of them are released that kill people. And the third woe is the career of the Antichrist. And in particular, Satan himself is cast to the earth. We are not going to read all of this because it's a lot, but the third woe, Satan's world rule during the second half of the tribulation. Chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 14 is another parenthetical section. You know what we mean by parenthetical? It kind of, the narrative stops and another story is told. And what is told here is John sees something that none of us are allowed to know what he saw. Because God told him, don't write it. In fact, what you wrote down, eat it. Okay? And it was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach. Okay? So, don't ask me, what do you think John saw? I don't know. He wasn't allowed to record it. Okay? And then also, we saw this a couple of weeks ago in this section, because it's the second half of the tribulation now. In this section, we saw about the two witnesses, so it's kind of a parenthetical. And then there's first an introduction between chapter 11, verse 15 through 12, 17. There's an introduction to this judgment, which recounts some of Satan, the dragon, and Israel, the woman's history. So if you read all through that, you read how Satan tried to destroy the Messiah. The woman was ready to give birth, okay? And how he tried to kill the Messiah. How did Satan try to kill the Messiah when he was born? Herod killing all the boys. Having a baby in a barn. Okay, it's not the most... I don't think Matt and Dana are going to have a baby in a barn. You know, I hope they're not. You know, and... So, you know, there were many ways that God... that Satan tried to destroy. And then the history there of Satan trying to, just get rid of Israel. And we see many times through the Bible how that has happened. And then look at chapter 12, look at verses 9 and 10. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So Satan, the Bible says, is the prince and the power of the air. Well, he's no longer allowed access to heaven. He's confined to the earth. and being confined to the earth, what has Satan always tried to do to man? Destroy him, right? Destroy God's creation. He's no longer allowed access into heaven. There's a talk here of a great war between Michael and the devil, and think about that. Think about a war that no one dies in, but there's constant conflict. Angels can't die. Demons can't die. But yet there's a constant fight, right? Back and forth, back and forth. Satan is kicked out. And then in chapter 13, we learn about the career of the Antichrist. And this is very similar to what we read in Daniel 7. Remember the little horn that there were these 10 kings, and three of the horns were plucked up by this one and were given him a great mouth, and he spoke, and he committed the abomination of desolation, right? So we now enter the second half of the tribulation. And John mentions in these verses, you know, a wound that was healed, a head wound, deadly head wound that was healed. Some people believe that the Antichrist, who rises to power in the first half of the tribulation, will be killed, and he will come back to life. Antichrist, what was the greatest thing that Christ did? He rose from the dead. Of course, this is something God will allow, and he will come back to life, and people will worship him. And there, so the Antichrist comes, and then there's also in chapter 13, verses 11 to 18, is the rule of the false prophet. So we have the unholy trinity: Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The false prophet causes people to worship the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit causes people to what? Come and worship Jesus. So, but this is the wicked, the evil trinity, the unholy trinity. So now Satan is confined. And if we remember from reading Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place where he can't be. And if you're in Jerusalem, run for the hills. Because if you thought the first half of the tribulation was bad, was the whole first half of the tribulation bad? You know, the seal and the trumpet judgments? If you thought that was bad, wait until the second half. And this is also called the time of Jacob's trouble, where it will literally be hell on earth because Satan and all his demons are confined to earth now. Okay? Not pretty. Not a good time. And you know, the wonderful thing in all of this, there are times that God protects his, you know, don't, he's just like in Egypt with the plagues, and there was light in Israel, but there wasn't in Egypt. And it says the scorpions were only allowed to kill, to torment those who didn't have the seal of God. They were only allowed to kill the unbelievers, you know. But it does say in these passages through chapter 10 and 13, it does say that eventually God allows the Antichrist to overcome the saints, and many of them will be martyred and suffer a martyr's death, but be, you know, gloriously saved from, you know. I mean, who if you're a saved believer during the tribulation, who wouldn't want to go to heaven, right? I mean, think about it, you know. Kill me, please. I don't want to be here. You know, I want to be with the Lord. I'm not being sarcastic, you know, but it is going to be that bad. All right? So this is the trumpet judgments this week. Next week, we'll look at the vile or the bold judgments, and we'll see that they're equally not pleasant.